Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. Each week, the podcast is about 10 to 15 minutes, depending on how bad traffic is. And this bumper to bumper time with me in the car is a great time to do some brain dumping and brainstorming about things that can make our classrooms better and more exciting and more engaging. So I hope you're enjoying the podcast, and I would love to talk with you about anything that relates to that. This week, I'm talking about my most recent trip to the Walt Disney World theme park in Orlando, Florida. I wrote a book called Adrenaline Rush, which is all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. And the theme park thing can kind of get us really excited, as Walt Disney says. It's kind of fun to do the impossible. So let's do the impossible. And our classrooms can be places where joy and creativity and wonder and excitement come alive. And so each week I take about 10, 15 minutes on the podcast to really just talk about what that looks like and what that could be to make us a better version of our classroom selves. More on that in a second. But first, if you like the podcast, new episodes every Monday, which is great. If you could subscribe or like or leave a comment, it helps other people find it, which is super cool. We can continue the conversation online on Twitter. I'm at MeehanEDU on Twitter. That's Meehan like my last name. And EDU like teaching, because I really love teaching and I love connecting with teachers who want to get better at this teaching game. I have a website. It's www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline, because I'm fired up about the teaching stuff. And I have resources and podcasts and links and multimedia templates, whatever you need, all on the website. And I did write a book. It's called Adrenaline Rush, which is all about ways that we as classroom teachers can get our kids excited to make our classes feel more like theme parks, like I said, mud runs or escape rooms. And because this weekend I was in Walt Disney World, I want to talk about that theme park experience and things that I learned on my most recent trip to the happiest place on earth. I guess it's actually called the most magical place on earth. First, a bit of backstory. The most magical place on earth is the Disney World theme park down in Orlando, Florida. The happiest place on earth is the Disneyland theme park in Anaheim, California. This week, I was supposed to be on a flight to Anaheim, California, because the ASCD Empower Conference is taking place in Los Angeles. So the plan was to do Disney World this weekend, because I had a friend who was in town, and that just made sense to make that trip to hang out. And then because I was doing the work trip on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I guess even into Monday, for California, why not go back-to-back and do two theme parks in the same week? Because I was going to miss our school's big annual dance fundraiser. The Super Dance fundraiser at our school raises money for cystic fibrosis research. So my plan was, if I could do back-to-back theme parks in the same week, I could make an online pledge where for every ride I was on, I could donate money to cystic fibrosis research. So even though I had to miss the dance, I could still take part in the excitement and the fun and the energy, and teachers could back me online, do a flat donation like 10 bucks, 5 bucks, whatever. Or you could back it based on the number of rides I was doing. So there was like 24 rides in Orlando, and then I think there's like 53 or 54 rides in Anaheim. The reason why I'm kind of vague on those numbers is because it changes. The Disney World Park, for example, is undergoing some construction right now, as is always the case, because they're constantly adding new things and whatever. But the way that it worked out is when I went to Orlando, the Mine Train ride, that's the Seven Dwarfs ride, is like crazy busy because other rides are less busy or maybe unoperational. In fact, when I got there, the Haunted Mansion is out of commission for the day. And that's like really sad because that's one of my all-time favorites. We have to adapt and overcome. But talking about what we learn in the podcast or what we learn in our classrooms from visiting places like the Disney theme parks is it's a place where you're so full of energy and excitement, you forget the fact that you're really spending most of your day waiting in lines. And Disney's really artful and really good at, through its theming and through its cohesion and through its excitement, getting you to forget that you're spending a lot of time being separated from your money and a lot of time spent just standing around waiting for a very short and sometimes very dated attraction. Now, there are plenty of attractions that are brand new and exciting. Like I said, part of the park is under construction pretty much at all times. Most recently, they've started the construction of the Light Cycle, or it's like a roller coaster inspired by the movie Tron. But that will take a better part of at least a year yet to finish. And so that will open, I think, next year. And for that to be open, they had to close the Walt Disney World Railroad, which runs around the perimeter of the park, because it's interrupting the type of, I guess, materials or vehicles they need to get in for the construction of Tron. So it's a constantly moving and developing situation, which, again, is why you really don't know how many rides are there. Like I said, Haunted Mansion was down. The Mine Train for the Seven Dwarfs was up. But there were other ones that went down on and off throughout the day. Winnie the Pooh went down for a little bit. The Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover went down. You have to adapt and overcome, right? I think as a classroom teacher, that to me was, you know, a lesson worth taking home. It's certainly, you're going to have a plan, but I think Dwight Eisenhower famously said, he finds that planning is essential, but plans are useless because invariably, Mike Tyson says, you know, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Like, once you get punched in the mouth, you have to just roll with it. And I think that was a big part of it. So it was very helpful for me to be a Disney, I guess, a veteran or someone who's familiar with the trip because it was a lot to do. So anyways, I'm sorry, before I get into the what I learned from it, the idea was raise money for cystic fibrosis research with every ride that I was on between Orlando and Anaheim. In the course of a week, how many rides could I do? Awesome. We talk about adapting and overcoming. About midway through our day in Orlando, we discovered that the ASCD Empower Conference has been canceled this year as a result of concerns over the coronavirus. And it's hard to disagree with that decision when they are going to have like 10,000 educators hanging out in a crowded convention hall, shaking hands, touching doorknobs, sitting at the same tables and desks and seats, walking through crowded areas. It's the exact recipe for a petri dish of an outbreak. And so for safety's sake, they decided to cancel the conference. So I can't disagree with that decision. But the whole reason for my challenge was to get as many rides as I could on the East Coast and on the West Coast in a week's time. And now everything's up in the air, right, with the West Coast stuff. So I want to walk you through my day in Disney World look like, regardless of the cancellation. Talk about it being able to adapt and overcome and how we can make our classrooms really capture that same spirit. Because my goal was to do as many rides in Disney World as I possibly could. Every one, I was going to put up $10 of my own money and raise for cystic fibrosis research, which is awesome. So if I had to miss the dance, I could still join in the excitement. Great. And people were online pledging and backing, and that was really cool too. So some lessons I learned, and I guess this will be the rest of the podcast. We arrived early, and I think that's probably a first thing we should take back to our classrooms too, is proper planning prevents poor performance. We showed up to the park before the park opens. The park opened for the day at 9 a.m., and it was open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., which meant we have 12 hours to tour. But we arrived at like 7:15 a.m., because we knew that the park itself will let people in to the Main Street USA area, which is like, I guess, the feeder to the different lands that are themed off the back. That typically happens just before 8 a.m., maybe 8 o'clock at the latest, if the park is opening at 9. So you're able to get onto Main Street USA, you can do a little bit of shopping, grab your coffee, and then there's even one ride that opens up before the park opens, and that's the vehicles on Main Street USA. There's either an old buggy or a trolley, or a horse-drawn carriage that'll pick up right as you enter the park, and it'll take you right to Cinderella Castle. So that's cool, because before the park starts, you can kind of do a ride, even though it's not really much of a ride. It's like a three-minute, just an open-air cart ride. But it gives you that energy, that excitement to kind of start the day off. From there, dropped off and got in line for the, what they call rope drop. And rope drop is each of the different themed lands is separated by the Cinderella Castle, which works much like a spokes off of a center hub. And so the castle, if you can imagine, like a wagon wheel, is the dead center of the hub. And all these lands radiate out from there. So at the first thing in the morning, before the lands open, there's a rope, like a stanchion. And everyone stands at that rope, lining up, queuing up, getting excited, getting ready for, I guess, Honey Market set go, where then they release it to each of the lands that come off that, like I said, spokes on a wheel. The challenge with that is that you're not the only person who wants to go to one of those big rides. We're going to go Splash Mountain or Space Mountain or Big Thunder Mountain or Pirates of the Caribbean, whatever your ride is. You're going to wait in line pretty much all day, and that rope drop is your chance to be the first person in line. So, yeah, there's a chance to kind of jump the line, so to speak, because you're the first person's in it. But not really, like I said, because we've been in line since 7:15 in the morning, and then the park doesn't let you through rope drop until 9 a.m. On the day that we were there. So we've kind of already been, quote, in line for an hour and 45 minutes before we'd get on that first ride. So I think that's another lesson for the classroom, too, is teaching is a lot of planning and a lot of work. You either put the planning in on the front end, or you wind up putting it on the back end, because if we did not do the line early in the day, that ride would be out there sort of looming large for the rest of the day, and I would have to then say, yo, by the end of the day, I have a ride that I know has a 100-minute wait or a 2-hour wait, and it's like, ooh, that's kind of brutal. So getting one out of the way early that we knew would be a headliner, again, planning with the spreadsheets, talking to friends and saying, okay, what do we want to do? really, really helpful. So we did the Main Street vehicles, and then we made our way to the Rope Drop. For Rope Drop, we went to the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which was far and away the ride with the longest line that we had seen in the days leading up to our trip. We used the app and we used the website to kind of track the amount of traffic for each ride, and I know that the Mine Train typically has, by the end of the day, at least a two-hour wait. So you had two options. Either do it really, really early and wait before the park started, or do it sometime during the day and then, you know, roll the dice and cross your fingers, hope that you don't have an hour or two-hour wait. Unfortunately, the ride itself is only like 3 minutes long, so it's a long, long wait for a very short lineup. That's something else I think of mine, too, is that our students spend a lot of time, quote, waiting for, quote, the fun day, that 2 to 3 minute, you know, review day, or that 2 to 3 minute breakout EDU. But they're spending a lot of time in line. I wonder why they're sort of fried by the time they get to those classes. And I think it's important that there's real momentum and energy we can kind of capture, especially early in the day. Because when we finish up with Mine Train, we went right to Peter Pan, which is another one that has, by the end of the day, 100 minutes or a 75-minute queuing time, which is insane, right? After Peter Pan, we went and did Dumbo, and Dumbo, by the end of the day, especially with small kids, will really have a really long line. From there, we went to see the Barnstormer, which is another kiddie coaster with starring Goofy. So again, before that first hour of the park was over, I had done the vehicles, the Mine Train, Peter Pan, Dumbo, and Goofy. From there, we went over to Jungle Cruise. We knew that was another headliner. It would only get longer lines as the day went on. We wound up, when we got there, even though the wait time said it was under an hour, which is great, as the day goes on, that ride gets slower and slower and longer and longer. And sure enough, by the time we got out of that line, it was actually about 90 minutes. So again, proper planning prevents poor performance. And as a teacher, you have to be aware that sometimes your lessons are going to run long. And that's kind of okay. Necessary to treat the learners in your classroom like people, not like robots. And if they're not ready to test on Tuesday and you get the general sense that it's running long and it needs a little bit more time, you have to make some concessions and you have to make some adaptations. Maybe there's things in your curriculum or there's a pacing guide you can kind of move away from a little bit to make sure that people who are there are still having a good time. Because after our time on the Jungle Cruise, we needed a quick refuel because we had spent 90 minutes pretty much just standing around and it was awful. So we grabbed a Dole Whip, which is like a pineapple juice and an ice cream, and it's amazing. And then we hit up real quick Splash Mountain, where we had our fast passes for the day. Pirates of the Caribbean, which we pretty much walked right onto. We hopped onto the magic carpets of Aladdin. While soaring high over Agrabah, we got the news that ASCD and Power was canceled. So here I am, like 10 rides-ish, 9 rides into this ride of the day. And there were like 24, 25 rides to complete. I think there's actually 24 in all, because we knew, like I said, that the railway was canceled. Or closed. But again, just like the railway was closed, now our conference is canceled, you have to adapt and overcome. So 9 rides in, it's like, all right, I had planned on doing $10 a ride for every ride I was about to be on. It's like, you know what? If I'm not going to go to California, screw it. I'm less than halfway into this challenge. I'm going to double that amount. Because I had committed to making a donation in my head, and I was willing to put up $500, $600, $700, $800 if I had to. And I was like, I'm going to fall well short of where my goal is. I think that's important, too, is as a teacher, it's okay to double down and say, you know what? We need to reteach this concept, or we need to dive deeper into it. And that made us okay for me. After Magic Carpets was over, we were on the Mad Tea Party, which I hate, but that's a teaching lesson, is, you know, sometimes you have to try things that scare you, that spinny thing. We went from there to the Carousel of Progress, which I love, a nice slow ride to cool us down. We hopped on Winnie the Pooh, then to Space Mountain, where we had our Fast Pass number 2, and we're at the midway point for the day, about 13 rides in, and at this point, we knew we had about 11 rides left to go, but we knew that we were running short on time. We were less than half of the day was remaining in the park, so we had to bang some out real quick. We went to the rafts to Tom Sawyer Island, which were super crowded, but it was a quick ride. Then the riverboat, which was great, a nice, slow, easy 15 to 20 minute kind of loop to kind of regather our senses. And sure enough, on our way back, the Haunted Mansion, which was closed for forever, for like 3 days, came back to life, and we saw the people starting at the queuing area while we were on the riverboat. That's another major lesson I think I picked up from Disney this week, is just because you thought it was, quote, dead, doesn't mean it's, quote, dead. Things always come back for one last haunt or one last scare, like a horror movie villain. There's always that last scene where you're like, I thought this was over, but it's not. And that could be a standardized test. That could be a reteach of a concept that you thought their students had mastered. Just because you're past it doesn't mean that they've learned it. And so you do have to go back again and again. And again, adapt, adapt, adapt to overcome. We were really excited to get Haunted Mansion because we didn't think we were going to be able to do it. But for ride number 17, we hopped on It's a Small World, then to The Little Mermaid. We're like closing into the last 2 hours of the day, and I'm like, I don't know that we're going to make it. We still had like 5 rides left to go, 2 hours in which to do it, and that meant that we would have to get on each ride and off of each ride in less than 20 minutes. And that's a big ask. Thankfully, we had a fast pass for the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, which is usually a very, very long line. We walk right on, which is awesome. The Prince Charming Regal Carousel was no wait. We walked right onto that one too. We got lucky. It's that time of the night where people were lining up for fireworks. And when people are lining up for fireworks, you do have a freedom to kind of move about the park a little bit more, nimbly. And that's a good thing. Something else to think about for our classrooms is as other classes are piling on the work, we have to kind of lay it off maybe a little bit about the work that we're doing. We can't just pile on for kids, pile on. Sometimes we have to just stop, take a breath, go to those slow rides and say, hey gang, let's just put the desks in a circle and have a conversation about how you're doing. You can't do the Bloom's taxonomy before you do the Maslow. You gotta be okay and make sure that you have your people on the same page. So it was nice for us to be able to take a spin on the carousel as we had four rides left to go with about an hour and 20 minutes before the park closed. We hit up the Tomorrowland Speedway, and then we went to the Tomorrowland Transit Authority's People Mover. And with less than an hour left to go, we had two rides left in the park. Seeing that end in sight is really, really exciting. As a classroom teacher, knowing that you can get there and saying, okay, we're 2 weeks out from the start of this unit or the end of this unit, really highlighting those edges is a smart way to help students feel like you're not drowning, you're not dead. You can see that progress and you start to feel like you're setting a goal in a competition, checking the boxes off, the micro-credentialing, the micro-badging, working your way towards that finished conclusion. Because we knew we didn't have to finish the last ride by 9 p.m. We just had to be in line for it before the park closed, and they would have to honor the fact that we were in that line. So with two rides left to go, about 40 minutes left in the park, we finish up the Astro Orbiter while fireworks were going off in the background. It's like 8:20 p.m. It started to feel really good, and we knew that it was time for our final ride of the night, which was Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin. At that moment, I couldn't help but feel really excited because for every time I was taking a ride, I was given $20 to cystic fibrosis research. On the rides, I'm making short videos, I'm posting to Twitter, and teachers are following us and making donations online. And here I am going to finish at the end of the day with like 10 minutes left to go. And I was really excited, really, really proud of myself. We finished our Buzz Lightyear ride and I said, you know what? That means I'm in for $480 for a pledge. Let's make it an even 500, and I found one extra. It's not a ride, but it's an attraction. We went and saw the Mickey's PhilharMagic, which is like a 3D show with a symphony kind of theme. So I put in an even 500, and that's maybe one more thing too, is there's always a bonus unit. It's out of Doug Liebmanov's book, Teach Like a Champion. The reward for correct answers is always harder questions, so the learning never stops. And if I could have gone for another 3 hours, 4 hours, I absolutely would. But we went and did every ride in the park in 12 hours. And I'm so blessed to be able to do that, to extend my privilege and my excitement and my enthusiasm. I really do believe that the enthusiasm we bring to our profession is infectious. Coming with that energy and that excitement, really letting our students know that we are there for them. We can adapt and overcome. We can set clear goals and deadlines. We can celebrate them for their small successes along the way. We can work through those setbacks. We can sit there and re-strategize and recognize that the people in our room are our people going through their struggles, whether it's health issues like cystic fibrosis or energy issues, you know, fatigue, bullying, depression, anxiety. And then really letting people know, hey, I'm here for you. I'm excited for you. I just can't wait to be here again tomorrow. And today's going to be fundamentally different because you showed up, you put the strategy in, you adapted, you overcame. That's a great way to spend a day. And in the end, we were able to raise a bunch of money for CF research. I was really proud of that. In spite of the cancellation of the ASCD conference, I walk away feeling engaged, inspired, and yeah, empowered. So in a lot of ways, I think everything worked out the way it was supposed to. Really long podcast this week. Thank you if you stuck around this long. I just wanted to, again, celebrate the great work that people did. If you've donated online, if you've supported the cause, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you haven't, it's still not too late to make a flat donation. You're absolutely welcome to do so. Click the link. It'll be in the show notes. God bless you for anything you guys have done so far, for the tweets, for the support, for the messages, for the shout-outs, the DMs, the emails. It means the world to me, and it really does keep me going. So that's maybe one last takeaway, too, is when we encourage one another, we have no idea how much that person really needed to hear that thing on that day. So God bless you. Thank you for the work that you're doing. Let's keep after it. We'll back to our regular scheduled program on Monday of next week, and let's change the game. Message me. Let's see how I can help. Thanks again. More next time.